Hello and welcome to Ghost Beans, a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Milk and Cereal from 2024. This is directed by Curry Barker, who I think has only done shorts before this, and apparently he's a comedian. He's known for his comedy, which I think is part of what made this so surprising.
Yeah.
Because it is really fucking scary.
Yes.
It's a kind of short movie. It reminds me of Host, because Host was another movie that was like kind of short, made on a really low budget, and was super fucking scary. This is the same kind of thing. You know, it's only like an hour long, definitely has a lower budget, but really punches above its weight.
Oh, yeah.
And is really scary and really good. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of those things where, as scary as it is, you can tell that the director has these comedic sensibilities, because mm-hmm. that stuff kind of works its way into the movie too, into the tone and everything. And it has a very dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
You were the one who was really pushing to watch this, because I'd heard about it. And I think, unfortunately, when it's like, oh, this big YouTube horror movie, it makes me kind of feel like, okay, like, whatever. But I'd heard a lot of people say, like, it's actually legitimate and mm-hmm. it's really scary. But what made you want to see it so bad?
I honestly think, like, it popped up in my YouTube feed, like, randomly. Oh, yeah. And I saw the thumbnail and I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. And I saw how long it was. I'm like, okay, I guess this is some kind of new horror film that came out. But I really like the title. I like that it's called Milk and Cereal, because I was literally just showing you, like, old videos from, like, old YouTube, oh, yeah. like, growing up. And one of them that I was surprised you hadn't seen was Milk and Cereal.
Yeah, I think that just passed me by generationally. But that is a big part of it. It is very explicitly meant to be from, like, early YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And that works its way into the style in a way that is really cool. You know, I mentioned Host. Host's whole aesthetic was, you know, the Zoom kind of imperfect laptop cameras and, you know, dealing with internet interference and, like, all that kind of technical stuff. And the look this goes for is very much like the older style cameras mm-hmm. and microphones and everything. And it feels like it was shot on actual hardware from that time too.
Oh yeah.
It feels very authentic.
I think it was another reason that I just, like, I was already very interested to see this film, but then as soon as I saw that it was like this early 2000s style in, like, the best way, I was totally in.
Yeah, that stuff works super well. Unfortunately, I don't know if you remember when we got into it, we were still very clueless mm-hmm. what it was about. I like going in as blind as I can.
Yeah.
And we were expecting something that was kind of comedic. I think mm-hmm. wires got crossed because I had heard he was a comedian.
Okay.
And I think that made me think that, oh, this was some kind of comedy horror thing. Mm-hmm. And pretty quickly realized, nope,
no.
it's really not. It's really actually pretty scary. It goes pretty extreme directions.
Yeah, I had the same reaction, but I think for a different reason, because I kept thinking of Milk and Cereal, like the old viral video. Yeah. Like, oh, that's really, like, silly. Like, maybe believe this. Like, no, it's not. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah, it was great, but
impressive.
It took us for a fucking ride, though.
Yes, it did.
But just to explain the story without spoiling it, it is about, like, this kind of prank YouTube channel that feels very much from that era mm-hmm. where they're trying to do, like, the most extreme pranks possible, which up to and including, like, guns with blanks in them.
Yeah.
And I think they're setting up, like, this big ultimate prank. But there's all this, like, drama in the background about someone wanting to leave the channel. And it goes in these weird directions that I can't even really get into without spoiling things. Yeah. But it gets very heavy. And there are some psychological elements that really freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's a lot scarier than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And it did make me wonder, every time that an ad popped up, were wondering, like, was this done deliberately? Were they really leaning into this? Because it kept happening at these moments when the tension would build up, and then suddenly we get hit by a fucking 30-second ad, and it's like, they did this on purpose.
But it's so appropriate. Like, yeah. I think it's kind of genius, honestly.
I guess
there for it.
The more cynical take is maybe that was YouTube being like, hey, you should subscribe, because we're not going to break these tense moments.
I'd like to think it was intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. But I think the only other thing I can say, just to point people in the right direction, is that, I mean, it's called Milk and Cereal. There is a serial killer element to the story. That's where
it's in
the horror comes from. Yeah. Without going in depth about who it is or what the deal is. But I think that mystery is actually the most interesting part of the movie. Even if you know that going into it, I don't think you're going to know where it's going. It really takes you on a fucking ride.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot. I'm glad we finally got around to seeing it.
Me too.
Do you want to get in spoilers?
Yes.
Okay.
What are we doing for dinner?
I didn't think about it. Okay. Yeah, I think this definitely has like the ultimate prank show sociopath. Because you kind of think like anyone who's doing that kind of prank show, especially one where you're trying to make it as extreme as possible, you have to be kind of a sociopath. And it's like, what if we took that all the way to the extreme and they are also a serial killer?
Yeah, let's just like just break the dial off. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't seen this already. You know, like it just makes sense.
It's too scary to think about that way.
But I think the initial ride that I enjoyed was the way they set it up as like, oh, they're going to prank this guy. And it's really extreme because they're picking up a fucking gun with blanks in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the whole prank, is just he shoots his friend, and then the blood pack goes off. Yeah. So it looks really realistic. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's kind of all there is to it. And when it happens, it seems like the guy who gets pranked is like super traumatized and upset about the whole thing, until they have the shift where they reveal this guy whose name is Milk is running like this reverse prank in the background the whole time. You know, he seems to already know this is coming.
Yeah.
And that gives you your hint that he's like kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah. And also like an incredibly great actor.
Too. Yeah.
Because I was convinced that this kid, like, that was trauma.
Well, that's a sociopath.
Yeah.
That's the definition. Yes. It is cool that they go fully in on him being a serial killer, though, because they even find his little trophy box with the blood vials. And it's like, oh, okay, it's just Dexter. we get it. That's cool, though. And it's the way there's this twisting and turning, like there was that old man who comes to the door and it seems like really angry and they're kind of scared. Finding out that that's an actor that Milk hired, it just really makes you wonder, like, where is this going?
What is
the end goal to all this?
Yeah, I think I really appreciate like the ambiguity of that Milk character, because like in the beginning, they're all kind of like sitting around and talking and he mentions like he killed a cat or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, wait, what? And I'm like scrambling in my brain, like, wait a minute, what did he just say? Why did he say that?
They kind of move on really fast from it, too.
Yeah. And then everyone's okay with it somehow. And then he gets like traumatized, like immediately. I'm like, oh my God, okay, wait, he killed a cat, but like he looks really upset and it plays with your emotions.
That feels like him deliberately like manipulating, like looking back, you know, the fact you would drop a comment like that and watch everyone just squirm. But it also, when I heard it, I was like, is he nuts? Like that's usually one of the first signs.
Yeah,
so it kind of drops that clue right away.
What's even more like mind gamey about it is like, did he do that on purpose?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
it's
maybe.
Like crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. And so a lot of the movie is this kind of escalation, you know, where it starts out just these back and forth pranks, which is like one thing. But then when he winds up kidnapping one of the girls who is present for all this, that's the like mask off moment, or mask on in this case, because that's when you get the scene of him with the crazy transparent mask.
Very cool. Honestly.
Having his like serial killer monologue.
Yeah.
That was really scary.
It was very scary. And it's like such a simple like detail, but it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Like really like the concept is like solid.
Well, I like that that's like a pull the pin moment where like I said, it goes from these pranks to when you hear him talking, it's this sense of dread creeping in where yes. it's like, oh no, like yeah. this is going to go in a bad,
yeah.
bad direction.
Yeah.
And the way he just tells her like, yeah, you know, you're just unlucky. Yeah. It's like, even that is just such a creepy,
very creepy,
creepy thing to say, you yes. creepy fucker. So after that is when it just becomes clear, like, oh, this is going to go really bad for all these characters. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not long after that when there's that really fucking intense scene where he convinces the actor to drug them so he can drag them out into the desert
mm-hmm.
and stages this whole scene with a gun that's supposed to have blanks in it, but he uses it to shoot the old man who yeah. kidnapped them. And let me tell you, this part of the like psychological torture, for some reason, it really got to me. You know, this idea of being tricked into killing someone.
Yes.
And then gaslighting the fuck out of you into like hiding the body and all this right. shit. And they really show how traumatized he is yes. carrying the weight of all this shit. That was like probably the most effective thing, I think.
Yeah, I think this movie takes a very strange, solid concept and like executes it like perfectly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Just all those ideas and the way, yeah, he is the ultimate gaslighter. I guess, you yeah. know, if you were a fucking sociopath, you'd be good at this.
Yeah.
But he just like he manipulates him every step of the way and you can kind of see it. And the actor is really good at portraying this.
Yes. And he's having a great time.
Oh, yes. Because it's that layer of like once you know what's going on, you see how fucking crazy he is. Yes. How you could see how it's an act he's putting on.
Yes.
But the other guy is so freaked out and traumatized that he just goes along with everything.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's scary. And yeah, that's the idea he presents is that I guess he thinks he is the ultimate serial killer because...
Right. He made another serial killer.
Yes. He made someone else kill themselves yeah, and like lose their mind without laying a finger on them.
Insane. Just insane.
It's a cool idea.
Yes. It's so cool. It was so well done. It comes across perfectly. I think... this is a very good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make you wonder, like, how much would it suck if one of your close friends was actually a serial killer?
Yeah, that's also what's insane. It's like, these guys are, like, best friends.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, there's so that built-up trust. So it's like, right. was he planning this for, like, the past decade or whatever?
Probably.
I don't know how long insane. They were supposed to know each yeah. other. And they do bring up the idea that the one guy's leaving their channel. It's like, was that part of... the motive here?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that ties together. Like, how much of this was just a big, you know, lifelong plan as a serial killer, or how much of it was just actual retaliation?
Yeah.
It was also, like, something I had to think about is that the other characters, there are these characters who are slowly unraveling the mystery, mm-hmm. you know, and starting to... head toward this direction of like, oh, maybe this guy is crazy. And you think maybe that's going to be the through line that resolves this is they discover him and get him arrested mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I did think it's interesting that they take you on that journey, but then it kind of cuts off very quickly when he's like monologuing to his computer and the other guy overhears it mm-hmm. and winds up shooting him and then shooting himself. And that like just ends it.
Yeah.
I did wonder like, how much of that was his plan, do you think? Like, did you think he was actually caught recording and he didn't mean to be caught? Or was that deliberate and him dying was, like, part of this whole thing?
I mean, I think it lends to the story even if it was intentional. Like,
yeah.
it does... It still makes sense. It's well, crazy, but it's, like, it falls into the same pattern. So, yeah, maybe. He seemed to be, like, 10 steps ahead.
That's what I was going to say is, like, if it was intentional, it actually makes him seem even more sinister that he saw all of this coming. But I don't know what direction they were meant to take.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But it is cool that, like, it does kind of cut everything off where even though they're finding all these clues and everything, they just don't get there fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of wraps up according to his own plan.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's pretty chilling in itself. But it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything from the aesthetic, the story, the ride it kind of takes you on. It's a good movie to see blind.
Oh, yeah.
And it surprised me. I'm really down for more of these kind of like short, heavy-hitting horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, trim all the fat. Just give me a nice high-concept story. That lends itself super well to horror. It's why anthology horror works so well.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to see more of these.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back in his catalog and look at the other short films too. Yeah. But hopefully they do something else too, because I think I would love to see more of this.
Totally. But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all their links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. How do you feel about Above Maxine, Below Color Out of Space?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. It's number 31 on our list. You can also contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Let me know if there are other short films like this that are really worth watching. Because I think that there is probably a whole genre of these, like on YouTube, that I just don't know about. You can like and subscribe. You can check out our store. We're selling stickers right now. And you can also follow us on TikTok, where we post twice a week. Okay? What are you looking at?
I think you might have said the opposite of where it was. I think you said...
What?
I think you said below... Okay. You'll hear it back.
Bye.